Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 485 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 27, Shane's Karma, part 2.
It also aired on August 9th, 2003, and is also written by Mark Hoffmeyer and John Tulligan, and is also directed by Charlie Haskell, just like last time.
Okay, wow, a two-parter that got everyone to come back on the creative team. How about that? Weird. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back and we talk about it, and you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs. And I don't know, you probably should. You should try it.
I think we give that a recommend this season.
Yeah, a hearty rec from your friends Jake and Josh. Check it out, maybe?
Just a rec. Just a recommendation.
Just a regular one? Okay.
A checkamendation.
A checkamendation from us. I don't have any other preamble. I'm going to level with y'all. I woke up late and my brain is still a little foggy, so we're going to go watch the episode now.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form. And we're back. And we watched Shane's Karma Part 2.
We did. And not to blow the reveal, but the muscle butt suit is in this one. So.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Boy, howdy is it. Hey, JakeandJosh.com. That's the website. You can go there and listen to old episodes. Like the original muscle butt suit, which was in space. You can listen to episodes all the way up through Lost Galaxy. Not Lost Galaxy. Lightspeed now. Over there. You can also go to our classic feeds, which are updated up through TERP. You should go check out if you want them in a convenient RSS feed form. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Masu Podcasts. We're on Google Play and Podknife and Podbay and Podbaby and Pod...
Buttsuit.
Podbuttsuit.com. Your favorite podcatching place to get them.
Did you? Okay. You said you woke up late. Did you just wake up?
I woke up at 8, and I was like, sweet, I'm going to be ready to go come 9 o'clock to do podcast times. And then I didn't get out of bed and did fall back asleep for about 35, 40 minutes. And then I was kind of scrambling. And then now we did the podcast, and I watched it, and I tried eating breakfast while watching the episode, and that was a little tricky. It's a little tricky to take notes and eat cereal at the same time, in case anyone was wondering. Don't recommend.
It's all milk stains on the paper, even though you take notes on your phone.
Yeah, it's all my paper notes that I write for the episodes. They're all covered. It's covered in milk and HEB brand honey. Bunches of oats. So, because HEB brand I think is better than the regular ones. Also, it's much cheaper, and I like that about it. But yeah, also my brain just is not, it's not clicking into place yet. So this is gonna be a fun episode. Podbuttsuit.com. If you want to leave us in any rating or review in any of those places, that'd be great. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the show, and you know, all the stuff that comes with that, and we really appreciate it. I'm trying to think. So we're recording this the week before I leave to drive home. So I'm thinking maybe we shouldn't record on Wednesday because we will watch the first, because the next one is also a two-parter.
Yeah.
So we'll watch the first part then, and then I don't know when we'll be able to watch the next part.
So yeah.
So that might be bad for us. So we might have to We might skip Monday morning just so we don't have to try to do any detective work come 2 episodes from that. By the time this airs, it's probably all sorted out because we're very far ahead. So
we are. Yeah, I was looking at my folder because I save all the raw recordings until the episode goes up just in case.
Yeah.
And I have 7 episodes in there that have not gone up yet. So.
So we got quite a few in the bank, so we're probably good. By the time those all go up, we should have figured it out. That's future Jake's problem. Current Jake's problem is that now we gotta talk about the show.
Kane. You know, Kane the Red Sharma. Ranger. The Red Ranger Kane. The big Red Ranger.
Oh, that's gotta be Kane. The big Red Ranger.
We have to talk about Shane's butt now.
Yeah. We got a couple new patrons. This is a Friday episode, so we might as well do some new pates, right?
Sure.
Makes sense to me. Again, as is the tradition, some of these we might have thanked before. First new patron is John Yu.
Thank you, John.
Next is Rep.
Thank you, Rep.
Will R. is a new patron.
Thanks, Will.
So is Gerald M.
Thank you, Gerald.
Joe H.
Thank you, Joe.
And Violet Wisp.
Thank you, Violet. Violet.
Yeah, thank you all for supporting the show. There's a good chance that you don't listen to this one. You listen to the Pokemon ones. But still. Hey, all the money comes to us anyway, so thank you. We got any new reviews?
You've sprung this on me so suddenly. I did.
Surprise.
What's the name of this podcast?
This is the...
Trouble in the Park. That's
Trouble
right.
in the Park. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spot. Here's a fun thing. You search for Morphin Grid, and the order that they show up in is Classic Volume 2, Morphin Grid, Classic Volume 1.
That's weird.
So I guess a lot of people, if it's by popularity, a lot of people are jamming on Classic 2 right now.
I guess. Maybe somebody ought to put the rest of the In Space episodes up there.
That would be weird.
Since everyone's getting real into it right now.
iTunes review by user Z Huff was put in. What the hell is going on today?
Are you contact sleepy?
It was posted on June 14th. And I'm assuming that the title is Taking the World by Ninja Storm. However, I have an ellipsis
the world by ninja?
After ninja. of course, it's a 5-star review, and it reads,
"Hell yeah.
I lived every day of my childhood in the fear that the VHS tape with the Psycho Rangers arc of In Space would get messed up. It didn't, but now there's Netflix. I wanted to trek through all of Power Rangers, but I never felt like I had the time. What I did have time for, apparently, was to listen to two dope dudes." Okay. For a second, I thought they were just going to call us two dopes.
not wrong. Not entirely wrong.
But I said we're dope dudes.
Hell yeah, we are.
Get to listen to two dope dudes talk about each episode for an hour or more.
Sometimes more.
I found these good boys through Kingdom Smarts and listened to a few episodes here and there to get a feel for the show. I knew instantly that I would come back, but life kept getting in the way. However, with the ridiculous amount of time that quarantine has given some of us, I decided to dive in and chose to go through Wild Force for some reason.
Well, you know, we all make mistakes.
Though I regretted that immediately, I don't regret giving Jake and Josh a fair shake. And now they're in Ninja Storm, which is way better. The show is funny, but also thoughtful when it needs to be. Jake and Josh aren't afraid to have their own opinions entitled Weirdos Be Damned. R.I.P. the spot Leo Corbett has in my Power Rangers rankings when I rewatched Lost Galaxy with these goofs in the back of my head.
Sorry about that.
We're almost there. We're in the home stretch.
All right.
I put the show on whenever I'm having a bad day, and it cheers me up. I put the show on whenever I'm having a good day, and I immediately want to marathon Power Rangers. And that's what a good Power Rangers podcast should do. No matter how bad it gets, it should remind you of one thing. This is Power Rangers, and it rules.
Hell yeah. Thank you very much. That was a very nice review.
Yeah.
Sorry that we exposed Leo to the world for being just the worst. for being just like a real crappy ranger.
I'm not sorry. That's on him, you
know,
not us.
You know what? I think you're right. We did a service. Everyone, you're welcome. Do you want to jump in now? Do you want to talk about Shane's Karma Part 2?
Yeah.
We started off on Vexicus dragging Shayla through the woods, and I forgot his name was Vexicus. Because we recorded the last episode 5 days ago, and his name did not stick in my head. So I wrote down Shark Man, and later they're like, Vexicus. I was like, oh, right, that's his name. I did remember Skyla's name, because it's like a regular person name that people have had. So he's dragging her through the woods, and he's like, I'm going to get that power, you Carmenian. And she's like, no, it's not yours. It's not meant for you. And he's like, well, don't matter. And we cut up to Lothar's spaceship, where they're was it high school? I'm assuming it was high school.
It was their high school reunion, yeah.
So Evil Space High is confirmed then.
It is confirmed. There's a couple of things to note here. First is actually Capri's hair.
Uh-huh.
This is the best wig Capri has ever worn.
I think so.
And second is that Evil Space High, at least the year that Capri and Mara attended, seems to have been an all-girl school.
I think so. Yeah. Also, at first I was like, is this a costume party? Because they are dressed a little bit like peacocks.
A little bit, but I think that's just space fancy dress.
Well, everybody else there is just wearing like a regular fancy dress. The only thing to like show that they yeah. are from space is that they have like green eyeshadow on.
Only some of them. Like the main other girl that they interact with that never gets a name or anything is just like a regular human girl in a regular human dress.
Yeah. And like, that's it. But they're dressed like peacocks. Sure. Okay. They want to show off. I get it. Lothar's like, hey, I definitely said no parties on my ship. And they're like, oh, but the Power Rangers ruin everything. Uncle, we got, like, this is the only place left we can have it. And he's like, I'm going to kill the Power Rangers anyway soon, so it doesn't matter. So just go back to Earth or whatever. They're like, no, we can't. Everybody's already here. And then the girl in the green dress, the Regina George of Evil Space High class of, I guess, 98, maybe? Is this a 5-year reunion?
I guess. Maybe it's the 1 year. They don't do a 1-year reunion. No. I've never gone to a single reunion.
I don't think they.
And I've been graduated 16 years now.
Oh, it's a long time. I'm coming up. My 10-year college graduation is next month. So that's wild. That means I've been paying student loans for 9.5 years now. That's all that really means.
If I had a child in my senior year, they could drive this year.
Whoa, Boise. I don't remember how long it's been since I graduated. It's 13 years? Yeah, 13 years, because I graduated in 2007. 2007? That's how humans say it.
2007, yeah.
2007.
That's how humans are gonna say it in about 100 years.
In 100 years, yeah. That's how leprechauns say it, I think. So they don't look like they've been out of high school for 10 years, so I'm assuming this is a 5-year reunion. So they would have graduated in 98, I guess. But she's there, and she's like, and this, I'm paraphrasing, she's like, wow, Lothar, you're extremely hot. And yeah, I would like to get a piece of this. What she actually says is like, you're so evil and cool and stuff, but it is... There is a hidden message underneath these words.
Boy, Chubo says something in this episode that literally made my mouth drop open.
Yeah.
We're going to get there, but it could not have been unintentional.
There's literally nothing else it can mean once we get there. It's at the end of the episode, but yeah, it is literally, it's not a double entendre. It only means one thing. So she's like right to his face, like, wow, you're super hot, Lothar. And he's like, okay, I guess you can have the party up here or whatever. Just don't like bother me, I guess. So we cut back to Ninja Ops and the Rangers are all like, hey, sorry, your birthday is extremely ruined now, Tori. And she's like, nah, it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault. Except Lothar's.
Well, I guess it's Lothar's fault. We'll just have to kill him.
Just gonna have to do him a murder for my birthday, for my birthday's honor. They can't get a hold of Shane or Sensei. Sensei because he's off on a hamster retreat, who knows where. And Shane because of... you know?
Weird woods magic.
Yeah, the woods is magic, and you can't email there.
Because he can morph. His morpher works fine. It's just the communication part of it that doesn't. And I can't tell if it's because of Vexicus's like cloaking technology on his ship that's interfering with it, or if it's Skyla's energy.
I think it might have to be one of the two of those, yeah, because nothing else really makes sense.
I guess would be Skyla.
Yeah.
Just because the fact we've seen cloaked ships before, and he's only cloaking a ship. He's not cloaking, like, the forest.
Right, yeah. And, like, Lothar can always go and find him, so I think it's Skyla, because she doesn't want to be found, so maybe she's just like producing some kind of energy.
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism. She just has an anti. She just produces magnetism.
Yeah. And so Dustin's like, well, while you're looking for them, let's go get our stuff from the beach. And they're like, yeah, let's go pack up all that. So they leave. We cut back to Shane. He's looking for the wood, looking through the woods for Skyla. And he's like, Skyla, I just need a clue to find you. And so the writers were like, all right, we wrote this line for Shane where he says he wants a clue. What if we just have Skyla tell him in his brain where she is?
It's definitely her being like, hey, come, I'm over here.
Yeah.
But it also is like, I'm looking for a clue. And then he just remembers part of his dream. And he's like, that's got to be a clue.
It's got to be a clue. Here's the thing. Where she is the fact that it's in the same woods is the only thing that it relates it to the dream at all.
Yeah, but he hears that and picks a direction to run.
Yeah. So we cut back to Skyla and Vexicus, and he says something to the effect of, when you evolve, which is going to be soon, you're level 36, you're about to evolve any second now, and your power is going to go into the closest person or something like that. And she's like, it's not going to be you. And he's like, well, I'm the only one here. So yeah, it is. Uh-huh. And then Shane does a front flip and then kicks him. And then now Shane's here. So maybe it won't go that way. But it's just a weird thing that the way they talk about it, like, yo, you know, Carmenians. Everyone knows Carmenians. When they die, their energy goes somewhere else. That's common knowledge in Power Rangers is the way they sound like.
She even says later, like, we're told from birth that we're going to die and pass our energy on. Like, that's the whole reason we exist. And we just accept that.
And she says dying. She says instead of dying. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess since you're not actually dying, you can say it as much as you want. So he's like, Shane squares up and Vexicus is like, you don't know what you're messing with or what you're dealing with or whatever. And he's like, Skyla good, Vexicus bad. It's pretty easy. I think I got the gist of it. And then they start fighting. And then she like goes to get away from the fight. And it looks like she is shot by a laser. Because like a big white like blast comes out of her, but definitely looks like she is gunned down.
Yeah, but I feel it was just her like dying, like not being able to hold her girl form, right?
Yeah, and just, like, I think so.
Because she is a ball of light.
Yeah, she's a Navi.
Yeah.
They do some more fighting. Shane like flips over to like get between her and Vexicus to protect her. And she's like, hey, why aren't you morphing? And he's like, what? She's like, you're not morphing because you're trying to protect the fact that you're a Red Ranger. I already know you should probably morph. And he's like, how do you know? She's like, I know everything about you. And I'm like, weird. Okay.
Yeah, this got a little creepy.
Just took a turn in the Skyla Shane relationship. And so he morphs. She is, by the way, when she's saying this, she is in genuine pain, it sounds like.
Yeah.
The actress is very good. So at the end credits last time, I forgot to mention this, it says like Skyla and then it says Jamie, and I didn't see anything else, so I thought it was like, oh, it's just Jamie is Skyla. Her name is very long and hyphenated. It's like,
yeah, I noticed on the credits it was like three lines.
Yeah, it took up a lot of space, but on the first episode I didn't see that part, so I just thought it said Skyla, Jamie. You know Jamie from school.
It's Jamie
from the beach, you know Jamie. So she's a good actress, though, and I'm going to look up, see if she does anything else, because I think she's pretty good. So he morphs, he puts a sword in gold mode, they do some fighting, he hits Vexen once, and Vexen dips.
Did we talk about this, or even notice this last time, that when he put his sword into gold mode, he put in, like, a number code on a keypad that is apparently on the handle of the sword?
I don't think we talked about it last time. I didn't really notice it till this time, but he's done that a lot of times. Whenever, because like in the plant episode, when Cam's like, I'm gonna email you a better sword now,
right?
It like popped up on that, and there's like, it's like a phone.
Yeah,
like their sword is like a phone hilt, but like that's it.
It's very odd to me. It's just I guess a technology season with Cam coding new orbs and discs for them all the time and emailing them and faxing them.
Which is neat because, like, it's a ninja season, so you think it would be all, like, more mystical, but it is definitely, like, a lot more technology-based, which I like. I like that there's the distinction. They, like, also Tori can walk on water through, like, ninja magic, so, like...
Yeah, the magic's here.
Yeah, it's there.
they can jump run in the blink of an eye from anywhere to anywhere.
Speaking of doing that, Vexen does that. He gets hit by the sword once. He's like, never mind, I'm leaving. And then he goes like, whoop, and, like... It's like he's the Flash running out of frame, but backwards into his ship. And then Shane's like, all right, we got to get out of here, because he runs over to Skylet. And she's like, we got to go. We don't have much time. You need to bring you back to where we were in your dream, you know, with the chimney. It's important there somehow. So they go there. We come back up to the party. Lothar's like, this sucks, I'm leaving. Like, I hate this party. There's a bunch of like 23-year-olds, and it's just really annoying down here. I'm gonna leave.
That really would suck, because Lothar is in his like 40s at best.
I would say 50s.
Yeah, just being in a party with just 23-year-olds.
I'm 31 as of three days ago.
It sounds exhausting.
I don't want to go to a party with 23-year-olds.
Yeah, that makes me instantly want to take a nap. if you need any gauge of how old I am in my heart.
Which is 100.
Constantly sleepy years old.
So he leaves, and the guest comes, Regina comes up, and she's like, this party sucks. There's no food here. And they're like, well, okay, we'll fix it. We'll figure it out. And so they go up to Jubo, notoriously reliable Jubo. And they're like, Jubo, go get some food. And he's like, well, whose account do I put it on? Because you know Lothar checks expense reports. And it's like, y'all are evil.
Steal it.
Like, what do you mean? This is so weird.
Yeah, the stretches they're making for jokes sometimes is just a really odd choice.
Like, they set up that there is, like, an evil henchman / foot soldier union.
Yeah,
right?
And they talk about Lothar like he's the head CEO of, like, Evil Enterprises.
Yeah, he's Evil Ninja Inc. is Lothar's business. Evil Ninja Inc. LLC, I guess. it's weird. And so she's like, I don't care, just go. And she hands him, like, a plate of, like, a cheese cube. And she's like, go, just figure it out, Jubo. Get out of here.
Steal the food and steal some money and put it into the account.
Yeah.
You're evil.
We're in space right now. Who's going to come get us?
There's no laws in space. It's like international waters.
Yeah, it's extremely international. It's space. It's intergalactic waters. So he goes to leave. We cut down to Lothar, who teleports down next to Vexicus is, I almost called him Vexen, which is the name of a Kingdom Hearts character. My wires are getting all crossed right now. He goes to talk to Vexicus, and he lands in front of his, like, cloaked ship. He's like, Vexicus, I know you're in there. And so Vexicus does, like, the reverse thing, and he just comes right out. He's like, whoop, yes, I'm here. What do you want? And so they talk about Skyla and how, like, she's got, like, some sort of magical power, and Lothar's like, this is – and I genuinely liked this scene for Lothar, because he's like, this is my planet. If you want to do any here, you go through me, which I like. That he's like, I'm going to take this planet. You don't get to do that here on my planet that I'm going to have sooner or later. Trust me. So they're like, all right, maybe we can help each other. And Lothar says, like old times.
Yeah, for old times' sake.
So
this was a partnership gone awry.
Do you think Lothar betrayed him in his quest to become Evil Ninja, the CEO of Evil Ninja Incorporated?
Yes. Yes, I do think that. He seems like the type.
What we will see in 1 second is that, yes, he is. Because Vex is like, I get Skyla, you get the Power Rangers, and then I get to leave with my prize.
And then we get the chicks.
He's like, I get to leave with my prize, which is, at this point, I don't, like, just the power that she will give off when she dies, right?
I get more power.
Oh. So he's like, yeah, totally. And then they shake hands, and as they both walk away, they're like, sucker, what a fool.
Yeah.
So they're both going to betray each other. Wait to see how that goes. Spoilers. Don't.
Not yet.
Stay tuned. It doesn't really. Yeah, I guess you're right. Not yet. So we come to the Rangers. They're on the beach. Hunter's accent is just right out there in front of God and everyone. He says forward, but he says it the most New Zealandish way you can say it. I don't even remember how, but I was just like, bud, I get it. But they're talking about whatever, and then Blake's like, hey, hold on a minute. Where is our stuff? And they're like, what do you mean? He's like, this is where all of our stuff was. And this is like, oh, our stuff got jacked. That's so lame. And like, well, you did just leave all your things on the beach.
Right.
I think Blake was like, maybe the tide took it. And Tori's like, it's not high tide yet. The tide did not take it out to sea. Trust me, I'm the water one. And then they look over and they see Jubo and some Zackies walking around those like rocks that like right around there is where the evil people do their parties. Or they keep trying to anyway. And they're like, let's go kill them for taking our stuff. That seems appropriate.
Yeah, well, Tori's already in murder mode because her birthday's been ruined.
Yeah.
Which, other than the beginning of this episode where she blames it on Lothar, is barely going to come up again. I mean, there's this, like, I guess it's Tori's birthday so that the bad guys had party stuff to steal.
I think so. Well, because she sees that, like, Azaki has, like, the box with her cake in it, and she's like, nobody steals my birthday cake. Like, that is the last straw. I will not accept this. And then it comes up again at the very end of the episode, and, like, that's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's enough.
Then Blake sees Azaki.
So they go around the corner, and Blake sees Azaki, and Zaki's wearing one of Tori's bikinis. And here's the thing that's weird, is that the Zaki's wearing the bikini over its Zaki stuff, and Blake's like, Tori, please never wear that bikini again. She's like, that will not be a problem.
I'm going to burn it.
Going to throw that in a fire, never have to think about that again.
Because the Zaki has it on and is like being sexy about it.
Yeah. Zaki's like, look, I'm in a bikini. Ain't I hot? And like, I'm sure the other Zaki's were like, yeah. But like,
but then that means that Zaki's are naked.
Well, we know that's not true because we've seen the Zaki's naked before when Mara and Capri had to like wash their outfits that one time.
That was their skin.
That's what I said, and you said no. But now I think it is their skin. And they just run around naked like creepos.
Gross.
Yeah. Also, and this is a much smaller complaint, I guess. Did Tori bring a second? Because we saw her at the beach in her regular like board shorts and like swim top kind of thing. It's not like a bikini top, but it was like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what they're all wearing now.
Yeah, like I think she was just wearing this before. So did you like bring a separate bikini just in case?
Well, yeah, for tanning.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
You know, after you shred the gnar and the swell calms.
Just want to catch some rays. I get it.
Just catch some rays on the beach, man.
Yeah, sure. So they do a murder. Hunter gets like uppity. He's like, he sees this Zaki in a bikini. He's like, no, I can't deal with this. We're going to fight. So they start fighting. The cake is there. So the cake is out of the box and they are just like waving the cake around. And so Dustin goes to grab he punches like a Zaki and it drops the cake and he catches it and does this thing where like he leans back over Zaki, like get his balance, and he comes back and like, oh, is he gonna drop it? And then the cake hits Jubo right in the face. Like it's like an accident, but it just goes right in Jubo's face. And then Jubo says the words. And I didn't write these down because they will be seared in my brain forever.
Yeah.
Josh, do you want to take it or you want me to?
Yeah. Jubo says, why do I always take it in the face?
And that's only one thing.
Yeah.
That's nothing else besides this one thing.
Yeah, this line confirms that all of the other stuff, for example, snail trail.
That not an accident.
Not an accident. Very intentional.
No. They're just horny up there. Which I guess is fine because they're aliens, so like they don't, you know, I don't know what their customs are.
The writers are like, how many sex jokes can we put in a Power Ranger season before Karens get mad at us?
Yeah, and I think the answer so far is a lot more than I was expecting.
Way too many, especially when they're blatantly, why do I always take it in the face?
Like, because that, like, let's run through a list of other scenarios aside from, you know, the one where that could apply. There aren't any.
We can even go back through what we've seen happen to Chubo, and like he's not bulk. He doesn't always get gack on him.
No, it's wild.
I can't believe it. I was literally, because I watched this one from bed today. I was just like in awe. Like I almost had to pause the episode. I'm not even sure what happens next.
I think we just kind of cut to later.
Yeah, like, we just let that linger for a minute and then cut away.
And then we just cut to the Rangers with all their stuff walking out and being like, well, now we know a thing about Jubo and I guess what they get up to up there.
Yeah, because this is when Dustin or Hunter, one of the guys is like, hey, sorry they wrecked your cake. And Dustin's just lathering up.
He's just putting a lot of something on him.
Tori is like, is that sunblock? And he says, no, it's the opposite. Sun magnifier.
It's like ultra tanning lotion.
Sun open. Yeah, no, he's like, it's the opposite. It's this tanning lotion that Clam made for me. And then as he walks off the camera and it fades to the next scene, he's just like, I'm gonna be a bronze god.
And he like flexes. He's like, I'm gonna look like Loyax. and Tori's like, okay. So we go from there back to the spaceship, and all the mean girls like, this party sucks. We're leaving. And they like form a flying V and walk away.
Yeah, they're like, you're still losers like in high school.
And they're like, and that's it. That's it for this. We don't come back.
Yeah.
We just needed to humiliate them, I guess.
It's just there so that Mara and Capri have a reason to be around, I guess.
Which is, sure.
Because otherwise they don't do anything. Like, they could have win.
No.
They need to have the reunion so that there's a need for the party food, so that there's a need for Tori's birthday. Or you can get rid of all that stuff and just have, but then it's just Shane, right?
Yeah, and I do appreciate that they like have this other thing that all the other Rangers can be doing, and it doesn't feel like useless. Like, it doesn't feel like it's like, here they are just, you know, kind of doing whatever for a while. Like, there is like a whole story around it. But I think they could have just wanted to ruin Tori's birthday party because they're evil aliens. Like, Rita didn't need a purpose to ruin Zach's birthday.
Yeah, or
she
Kimberly's,
just hates him.
Or Kimberly's parade float, which she ruined to fuck with Kimberly.
Yeah, like literally. That's literally the point of that episode, is that like sometimes I'm just going to fuck with you because I hate you and I want to destroy the planet.
One parade float at a time.
But they're like, we need to give him like a whole, like a raison d'etre to be in this episode. And you didn't, but like, whatever. It was at least fun. It wasn't like stupid.
Yeah. We got cute hair and cute outfits out of it.
Yeah. So we cut from there to Shane and Skyla. And she's like, instead of dying, Carmenians pass our energy on, our life form from us to the next one. The way she made it sound is that, like, this body you see, this Skyla body, I took from someone else.
Yeah.
Like, my life passed from there to this, and now I'm going to give it to you, but since you're a Power Ranger, you'll be able to wield it separately, and then this regular girl is going to, you know, die.
Die. Yep.
Maybe that's not it, but it is what it sounded like.
I don't think that's it. I feel like they were just, like, they wrote something that sounded cool and did not think about it.
Yeah, because she's like, we pass energy from one life form to the next, which I assume means like the one that I have will go to you. But it definitely seems like it's like, yeah, we kind of, you know, domino between people until someone can handle it all at once.
Like, we're a parasite and we just like jump from host to host.
Yeah. So she's like, yeah, we're each other's destiny. And I was like, are they going to kiss? Are we going to get a kiss out of this? Also, she is dying. So a pretty bummer thing to say to someone you're about to die at. Skyla. She's like, only someone true of character or whatever can handle the power. And you being a Red Ranger is a plus. So I guess the Netflix description of the last episode where it's like she's looking for a Red Ranger was wrong. That was a lie.
Yeah.
She was looking for a Red Ranger, Shane.
Yeah, she was looking for Shane, a Red Ranger.
A Red Ranger. Then she starts dying. She looks like genuinely like, again, the actress Jamie is very good. Because like she's like, yep, this is dying. She sells it. And she's like, it's okay. Through the power, we'll be together forever. And then she bursts into a bird made out of flames with a human face that winks at the camera.
Yeah, what a decision. Ooh. There's a lot happening in this episode, man. I don't know. I know why they did this, but I don't know why they did this.
I rewound like four times because I needed to get wink.
Wouldn't it have been better if she died and instead of just erupting into a ghost phoenix, like just became a ghost projection of the girl that winked and then that just turned into the bird instead of putting the face on the bird?
I think if they would have done things serially instead of simultaneously, it would have worked a lot better because it's like... I don't even know what it's like, but I've definitely seen the thing where it's like, you know what it is? It's an Uku from Twilight Princess. You know, weird bird from Twilight Princess? She turns into a fire version of one of those.
They have weird, like, bird boobs.
They do. Heads.
I hate Uku.
I love Uku because I never use them the way you're supposed to because you use them like, hey, leave the baby here and you teleport me out, then I can teleport back to wherever I was. Seems incredible. It's just, you know, it's just Feyre's wind.
Right. But
instead, it's a Uku with a face.
Yeah, it's child abandonment.
But it's really weird. And I think they're very strange because they're like, yeah, we lived in the sky, in the place in the sky. And you're like, whoa. And then you go there in the game and you're like, whoa. And then the next game is called the Skyward Sword where you live in the sky. And I'm like, did the Skyloft people turn into the Ukus?
Oh, shoot.
Because at the end of Skyward Sword, it crashes to the ground. But, like, what if it all didn't? And some of the people that were up here just evolved into Ukus eventually.
What an advantage they have now. Thanks, evolution.
Well, when their babies are born, they're just heads with little wingies for ears. So that's... good for them.
I hate Uku so much.
I love them. Because I have a blind spot for anything dumb that could be in Twilight Princess. I'm like, nah, it's in Twilight Princess, so I love it.
Why did they make that? Why did they make a Uku?
I don't know. But then they saw that and they were like, yeah, place in the sky. Let's just make the whole next game that.
Yeah.
Let's just do that whole thing. Yeah.
Who cares about any kind of continuity? And really, that's the way a Zelda game should be made, is who cares about the continuity?
Exactly. I mean, the third, the third game. The third game is Link to the Past.
Link to the Past, yeah.
The continuity for that, the third game, they're like, here's the story of what happened 100 years ago. And that story is just Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, the third game is a sequel to the fifth game, I think. Because I think so. I think it goes Link's Awakening
came after, and then, I don't think there's anything.
Yeah, that is Ocarina, because the Oracle games are after Majora. So release-wise, I don't know about the timeline.
They're on the downfall timeline, so who knows what that means. I do appreciate that, but also then in Breath of the Wild, they're like, oh, all of the timelines end up here, and no, it cannot. That's not how time works, especially not how the way you've set the worlds up, because at some point that means that the Great Flood just went away.
Well, you know how over time
that did
oceans go away. It's actually
they famously recede. Yes,
yeah, it's actually the opposite.
Yeah,
because the polar ice caps melt and then there's more ocean.
And then there's even a line in Breath of the Wild where like, wow, by stopping the big elephant Zord, you prevented a great flood.
Yeah, which is what the
big flood was called.
Is that an official thing where they said all the timelines come together in Breath of the Wild?
I don't know if I've seen like a statement with a Nintendo seal of quality on it, but like I've definitely heard it said that like that's what everybody at Nintendo's saying.
I really feel like Breath of the Wild is just a Zelda game. It's a game with a bunch of Zelda stuff in it that is not part of the singular triple split official Zelda timeline. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like there's Lon Lon Ranch, which you can – it's ruined because everything around there is like that. This is a Power Rangers podcast, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
There is Lon Lon Ranch, but there's also like
this is our Gossip Stone segment of the Morphin Grid.
Yeah, yeah. There's also like Spectacle Rock is in there, and like that's a different timeline. And then like there's like the Koroks, which were only on the adult timeline in the Wind Waker because they were Kokiri otherwise. Right. But there's no Kokiri. Rito
Rito and Zora living together. It's mass hysteria.
I think is that Breath of the Wild is the world that they tell the Legends of Zelda in.
Yeah.
Right. So they're like, oh, Spectacle Rock, here's how that became. That's from this story, you know? But I don't know. I think it's just a good Zelda game. I think it's just a Zelda game with a bunch of Zelda stuff in it because it's huge.
Like I said, like the best way to make a Zelda game is to like reference all the other games, but not in a way that like makes it so it's like a sequel. Just in a way that's like, this is stuff that's in Zelda stories.
Right. Unless you're going to like directly, like Majora's Mask is a direct sequel to Ocarina of Time.
Right.
Twilight Princess is a direct sequel to Ocarina of Time. Like, the map is in the same place. It's just bigger because it's on, you know, a system that can handle it. So, like, that, you know, that makes sense. But, like, if you look at Link to the Past, it doesn't look like anywhere. It doesn't look like anything else.
Except for so don't worry Link about Between it. Worlds, which doesn't make sense that a new Link lives in the old Link's house.
Yep.
Which is not in a town. Or anything. There's only one town in all of Hyrule.
Anyway, we should probably get back to Power Rangers. Where were we? Oh, she's a Uku. Right. Because she's a big Uku. So she winks at him and is unnerving. And she's like, goodbye, Shane.
It's also like a Phoenix version of Seaman. It's exactly as unsettling as looking at a Seaman.
Yeah. It's also weird because she's like, my life force will pass on to you. But all it does is like, she shoots like some little sparks into his morpher and then flies away. It's like, that's different, I think, than what you said. So anyway, we cut up to the spaceship. Lothar's like, all right, Zergain, get in your Zord. Go down there, kill the Power Rangers. As soon as you get the chance, kill Vexicus too. And Zergain's like, I thought we said we were going to help him. And Lothar goes, I lied. So we cut back, Vexicus versus Shane, part two, Shane Morphs, they start fighting. Back to Ninja Ops. The Zords are back online because they got their butt whooped by Zordgain last time, so now they're back online. The Thunder Zords, the whatever feel was keeping the Thunder Zords away is, like, weakening, so they can get them now, I think, is what he said. They're like, it'll be soon, so you go first, and then we'll meet you there once the curtain's back.
It's really weird, because he fixed the other ones, and I think Tori is really, like, they're good to go, and Cam's like, yeah, I'm the best.
He's like, yeah, this is my thing that I do.
And then Hunter asks about the Thunder Zords, and he's like, yeah, there's a curtain.
So we gotta peel it back first.
I'm slowly peeling it back, but it's a heavy rope, so.
You know, it's gonna take a minute. So they go, they jump back in their Zords, they are immediately, like, beat up, like, getting beaten up by Zergain. This entire time we're cutting between this and Shane and Vexicus fighting. I'm not going to keep mentioning it. It's just regular. It's sword fights mostly. It's good, but it's not noteworthy until it is. So then also before they morph, Tori's like, are you ready to go, Bronze God? And we see Dustin and he is like leathery.
Yeah.
Like he's way over tanned. And he's like, yeah. So they morph, they go. At some point, Cam gets the curtain back and he's like, all right, Thunder Zords, you're good to go. And Blake says, or Hunter's like, yeah, let's do it. And then Blake says, yo diggity. Blake says yo diggity,
because Blake is a fake cool guy.
Yeah.
And yep. As we see more and more of Blake, it is revealed more and more that he's just a big dork.
He is a big dork.
Who says things like, yo diggity, in a not ironic way. He likes the way you work it, yo diggity.
Mm-hmm. I listened to the song Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus about 30 times yesterday. Because sometimes you know how you do that with a song. Sure. You'd be like, hey, I haven't heard that song in a little while. Let me listen to it. And then you end up listening to it a lot. I found a cover version of this band called First to 11. And they are like kids. They're like 18 or 19. Like they are young. But they do a bunch of covers. They have some original stuff that's not as good as their covers. I only listened to one or two of their original songs. But they do a cover of Teenage Dirtbag, and their singer's a girl, and it slaps. It's a good-ass song. Hey, Teenage Dirtbag from the year 2000, kick-ass song. It's extremely dated because he mentions that the girl he's talking about's boyfriend drives an IROC. Does anyone know what that is?
No.
Because I... don't. It sounds like something that Sonic the Hedgehog would drive.
IROC?
An IROC. I R O C.
Car?
I think I'm going to do a quick.
I'm also doing that.
IROC.
Oh, yeah. It's a. It stands for International Race of Champions.
So is it like a type of car?
I guess it's like a race car. Her boyfriend is a race car driver.
I guess.
It definitely, yeah, if you look at the image results, it's a very specific type of car.
Yeah, that is square, huh? Yeah.
It's very aerodynamic.
This is all to say that I think the song Teenage Dirtbag, like, Blake would sing that at a karaoke unironically. Yeah. Like, not because he likes the song, but because maybe he feels like the main character in the song Teenage Dirtbag. Also, fun, just a quick fact about that. They do not change the pronouns. So the girl is singing about this girl that she wants to get with and how her boyfriend sucks, which is great. I did listen to a couple other covers by girls, and this is just a blanket statement. If you cover a song and change the pronouns, you're a coward.
Yep.
The band, the singing group Girls Aloud, who changed it to like, to they're singing about a boy, it's dumb. dumb. Anyway, so that's, I just wanted to tell everybody about my new obsession with the song Teenage Dirtbag.
Yeah, that's the official Morphin Grid checkmendation of approval for Teenage Dirtbag.
Two thumb up.
Two thumbs up, only if the pronouns are the same.
Yeah, gotta keep them the same. I also was like, you know what? This song would go really great over the credits of like a lesbian high school rom-com. So balls in your court, Hollywood.
They're gonna leave it there.
They're gonna leave it there.
Their court is lousy with balls.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, yo diggity. So they joined the fight and they start fighting and they're like, I'm sending you a thing. They send a sphere, they get a sphere, and it pops out, and Zergain, who has entered lightning mode, and I thought for a second, I was like, oh, hot damn, we're going to get thunder, like the Thunder Zord lightning mode. Nope. Just Zergain. Zergain grabs the ball and is like, now I have it. Wah-ha-ha.
Now the ball's in his court.
Now the ball's in my court, and I'm going to leave it here, and it's going to slowly deflate over time. And I'm never going to make a cool lesbian high school rom-com with the song Teenage Dirtbag over the credits because we're cowards. There's more fighting. Cut back to Shane for a second. More fighting. Then Cam comes in on his Zord and Cam's like, yo, guys, I have a new thing or something. He says it in a weird like Smash announcer voice. No idea what he's going for. He summons up his own sphere, and I was kind of hoping for a second. I thought Zergain was just going to jump and grab that one, too. But he didn't. You know. And that one pops out, and it's a spider, but it's like a spider claw shot, speaking of Twilight Princess. Because he just, like, crane games the ball back from Zergain. That's all I remember about the Zord fight. I don't know what is in that first ball, because I don't think it's Mini Zord, which will pop up in a second.
Yeah.
But I don't think they open it either.
I have no idea.
I have literally no idea. They're like, this one's got Zergane cooties on it. I don't want to use it.
We got it back. Now we have to sterilize it, I guess.
We got to get the isopropyl. So we cut back to Shane, who's like on his last legs. He's like, yeah, but I'm still standing. And then he gets blasted. And I really like this moment for Shane where he's like, you're dead. You're done, Red Ranger. He's like, not yet. You didn't kill me yet. So he gets blasted and he hears Skyla's voice go, Shane, trust yourself. Trust yourself. Trust yourself. And then he's like, you're right. And he summons up the muscle butt suit. This muscle butt suit rules because it's mostly just some armor for his Power Ranger, but does give him abs and a muscle butt.
Abs and a muscle butt.
It is the first time since the original muscle butt suit where they did the damn thing again.
It's so weird to me, though, that they'll have Jubo say, I always take it on the face.
Always taking it on the face.
But they will only show a glimpse of Shane's muscle butt.
Well, they got to be subtle about their perv stuff. So he has a muscle butt suit, and he just beats Vexicus's ass. He just beats him. He like punches him like three counties over, and then flies over to catch him and throw him back, and like just whips his ass. It's really cool. It's a good muscle butt suit.
Yeah, I don't really remember other than him being stronger. Well, I guess it's going to come more into play in a minute here. I was going to say, I don't really remember a lot happening with the suit while he's fighting Vexicus, other than, like, he just is better at fighting Vexicus now.
Yeah, he just beats the hell out of him, like, hits him against a tree. Like, ruckusing
him. He doesn't
him.
Have a rocket pack and aggressive inlines.
No. I mean, he does have a flight mode, but it's, like, a separate part of it, not necessarily, like, the fighting part. Because Vexicus is getting his butt kicked. Oh, we cut to the Megazords. They send out Minizord. Minizord does not talk. Thank God and Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think he's talked since that first time.
I don't think so. I think the first two episodes he did it, and then they were like, oh, this sucks. We're not going to do this.
Yeah, now he's just part of the sequence montage.
Yeah, and so then they combine. They rock Zergane, who flies out of it like, oh no, when his Zordgane blows up. And he's just like flies towards the camera on a green screen, which I think is American footage. Cut back to Shane, who Vexicus gets in his ship because he's like, I'm sick of being beaten up by this kid. I'm going to fly away from here. So he gets in his ship and he flies away. And Shane goes into flight mode and chases him down and then uses like ultra laser to blow him up and kill him.
Asterisk.
Then Shane lands. All the other Rangers run up. They're like, whoa. They're like, kneeling down. Like, look at your shoes. Look at this muscle butt. Yeah, like,
look at your shoes. Look at that butt.
Your butt's so tight now. Look at these abs. These are like TJ's abs. But like fake, because only one person can replicate TJ's abs, and it's TJ. And they're like, yeah, all this stuff. It's so cool. We cut away. We kind of like fade from there. We're on the spaceship. Zergane comes. He's like, I failed you. I didn't kill the Power Rangers. And Zergane or Vexicus died, but not by me. So there's that. And then Lothar's like, well, one out of two ain't bad. And I was like, wait, he said he didn't do either of the things. Maybe I misheard. And he said, I also didn't kill Vexicus. And that's what he's talking about. I don't know. Either way, he's like, anyway, here's your new boss, Vexicus.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on.
I don't.
Like I said, I watched this from bed, so.
We cut back to Ninja Ops, and Shane's like, yeah, I'm going to miss Skyla. She was a babe, and seemed really into me, and then died, and then her face is on a bird, and it winked at me, and now I'm just confused, mostly. And they're like, well, at least you got the cool power, so she'll be with you forever. And that's pretty dope, I guess. Sente's also just there. He's just, like, back. There's no fanfare. There's nothing about it.
Yeah, they don't
just
even say, like, how is hamster school or wherever. He's just there. He's being wise at them again.
Yeah. At one point, he's like, in my absence, you did good. And that's all we get about it. And they're like, yeah, again, Tori, sorry about your birthday. She's like, ah, you know, I got plenty more birthdays. Like, it'll be fine.
Sensei does not even apologize for missing Tori's birthday.
No, he doesn't care. I don't think. But here, the other thing is that Sensei's like, or no, yeah, he doesn't say anything. And so they're like, yeah, sorry about your birthday. And then up walks Dustin, And Cam, I guess. Cam is also there, I think. Because it's everybody but Dustin and Cam. And then Dustin walks up, and he is bright-ass orange.
He's even worse than the last time.
And he has, like, sunglass outline. And they're like, "Whoa, Bronze God, what happened?" And he's like, "Next time I see Clam, I'm going to kill him," is what happened.
So is this gradually over time from the one application, he's just getting tanner and tanner?
I think so. I think the UV got stuck in the tan lotion and is releasing into his body.
It's because he put it on in the direct sunlight on the beach.
Yeah, it activated too quickly.
Captured it and just put it in his skin.
No, he's going to be stuck that way for... he will not be this way by the next episode. I can almost guarantee it. Then he comes in. He's got a cake.
This whole thing is only for this joke, this tan line joke. The only reason he has tanner is so he can look dumb at the end of the episode.
To, like, make Tori have a smile on her birthday when she blows out her candles.
What a weird domino effect.
Yep.
Just like, they were like, okay... So the other Rangers need something to do. Maybe it's one of their birthdays. It'll be Tori's birthday. And it's like, okay, well, Mara and Capri need something to do. So maybe they're going to have a party and they'll need to steal the party supplies from the birthday.
Okay, then Chubo can take it in the face like he says he loves
Chubo
doing.
Chubo loves to take it in the face.
Well, I guess he doesn't love to, but he just doesn't stand up for himself. It keeps happening.
He doesn't like it, but it always happens.
Ugh.
Oh, God. That. Come on.
Yep. I have to cut that. I definitely have to cut that. So
that's the the Patreon content we get the dollars
Josh,
for.
I started. What's the best?
The best is Chubo taking it on the face.
No, it's not.
No,
it
it's
can't
not.
Be.
It's never, that's never the best. The best is Shane's muscle butt.
I do love the new muscle butt suit. I think it's really good. I think I'm going to say the best is the...
Oh,
the muscle butt fight.
My actual best is the Lothor and Vexicus. They make a deal and both turn and they're like, "I'm going to betray this fool." Like,
ooh.
This guy's, they both think the other guy's an idiot, which makes both of them idiots.
I think you might be right on that because it, like, I genuinely loved Lothor's acting in that. Like, that was really good where he was like, "This is my planet now." Like, that was good. Yeah, I'm gonna best that too. That was really good.
And then, I mean, that definitely sets up like a Starscream scenario for Vexicus being a new general. So
yeah,
it'll be fun.
What's the worst?
The worst is Chivo taking it on the face.
That is the worst. That is bad. That's bad. That's a bad thing to say on a kid's show. And I get they're on Disney now, so it's like a little more mature. It's like a preteen to teen kind of demographic now, so they've like aged up a little bit, which I very much appreciate. I think it really works. I do think that you trying to sneak in some jokes in the Power Rangers show is a little weird and gross. John Telligan, I know it was you.
Yeah, come on, bud. You're only on this episode, I think.
Yeah. He doesn't come back for good reason. Who's the MVP?
Clam for making that sweet tanning lotion. That's also a joke. They're all jokes this time.
I don't know who the MVP is.
Is the MVP?
I think it's Skyla? I'm gonna say it's Jamie.
Jamie.
Long last name. Because her acting was genuinely really good. In this
episode. I'm noticing that I tend to try to give a in-universe MVP more than not, and I don't really do that on purpose. It's just, I guess, because we're watching a show, I want the MVP to be in the show. Some weird mental block. But I think I'm also going to give this one to Jamie.
She's really good. Now we got to rank it.
I feel like it's going to stay about where part one is. I don't feel like it really added or took anything away.
Yeah, I also think the same. I think it was like it had the same level of quality that just kind of went across the board. Here's what I really liked about it. It's the final part of a multi-parter, and it stuck the landing.
It didn't undo any part from the first one.
It wasn't like it goes away with her being like, "I'm being taken away by Vexicus," and starts with her being like, "I'm actually just a regular surfer."
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't anything like that. So yeah, number four stays at number four.
Yeah, Vexicus stays threatening.
Yeah,
which
what
is
I really
good.
Like about Vexicus is that he, like, we've noticed a couple times that there's a bunch of different kinds of monsters, and like Vexicus looks like a new, different, entirely different type. Like if you look at Wild Force, they all were the same. Like if you look at anything else, they are all like of a theme. You know, even Time Force, where they are all like different kinds of mutants, they all like look like they came from the same place, you know. But like sometimes we have like robots that might be made out of ceramic that are chameleons, and then sometimes we have a foot monster or like a mouth monster, and then now we have like this evil shark Kamen Rider guy, and it's really good.
Yeah,
I like all the ways they're doing that. So that's going to do it for us for today. Josh, what are we watching next time?
Next time is another two-parter called Shimatsu Returns, Part 1.
Ooh. I don't know who that is, so it's more like an introduction than a return. But.
Yeah, I was going to ask if that's a character we should know.
I mean, you know, there's a good chance knowing us.
Because that name does not sound familiar to me at all.
No, same. Well, I guess we'll find out for you next week. For us, who knows when. But until then,
may the power protect you.
And today we are watching episode 405 of Power Rangers. 400. Nope.